back live on the air through BBS Radio. Thank you, BBS, for making this possible for us on this beautiful Monday, June the 24th, 2019. A one-hour show with Winfrey in Sedona, Arizona. Myself, I'm Gijs Minderhout, located in Los Molinos, California. And this will be a simulcast, as usual, a conference call with this radio show. And right after this show, we will do our daily whole planet healing, which is only accessible by phone. I welcome the next caller here. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
Hello, hi. This is Jeannie in Citrus Heights.
Good evening to you, Jeannie. Welcome. And the next person that joined in, we welcome you. Please say your name and location.
Hi, it's Don in Northern Ohio. Hi, everybody.
Good evening,
Don.
Welcome.
Thanks.
And back as I was talking about the Whole Planet Healing Call, you can find the information at the website wholeplanethealing.com. And I will also now give you the phone number if you want to make a note of it so you can call in. 712-770-4340 is the phone number, and the access code is 250-513-pound. I welcome the next caller. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location. But of course, only if you want to, we welcome you. One more time, the phone number, 712-770-4340, and the access code, 250-513-pound. Welcome to the next caller. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
Roger in Austin.
Hello, Roger. Good evening. Welcome.
Good evening, Heis.
Hey, Roger.
Hi, everybody.
Debbie.
Yeah, Debbie. Yeah, here. Hi. Hello, Debbie.
Hi.
Thank you for being here, Debbie.
Everybody.
Hi, Debbie.
Hi, Don.
Good evening. Welcome to the conference call. Please say your name and location.
It's Wynn in Palm Springs.
Hello, Wynn in Palm Springs. Welcome.
Hey.
Hi, Wynn.
Hi, Wynn.
You sound a little bit in the background.
I do.
Somebody else joined in. Welcome to the call. Please
Hello,
say your name
hi.
Location.
It's Jane in Pennsylvania.
Hello, Jane. Good evening. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you.
Hi, Jane.
Hi, Don.
And somebody else joined in. We welcome you. Please say your name and location.
Hi, Heis. It's Jennifer from Greensburg, PA.
Good evening, Jennifer. Welcome.
Hi, guys. Thank you.
Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, it's Terry from Dallas.
Hello, Terry. Good evening. Welcome.
Hi. Good evening.
Hi, Terry.
All right. Hi.
Do we have Terry on the line?
She's not here yet, no. Welcome to the next caller. Please say your name and location.
Positive greetings, hi, from Sedona, right?
Thank you, Raiden. Welcome.
Thank you.
Hi, Raiden.
Hi. Hi, Raiden.
Hi.
And I welcome all those that are listening in online through BBS Radio. Thank you for being here.
Everybody's so quiet.
And so it is.
Hello to everybody on BBS. We will be starting in just a moment. Let me check on Terry. See if she lost the number.
Like I said earlier, right after this call, we do our daily Whole Planet Healing Call, which is not on the radio, only accessible for a conference call. Go to wholeplanethealing.com to find the information. Wholeplanethealing.com. Good evening. Welcome to the conference call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, this is Terry in Sedona.
Hello, Terry. Good evening. Welcome.
Hi, good evening.
Hi, Terry.
Hi. Hello.
You should be getting a call from Wynn any second now.
Oh, me?
Yeah.
He did. I already got his call.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Hi, Karen.
Hi.
Climbing up the ladder, up, up, to find the one who waits for me.
Got the date with an angel, got to meet her at 7. Got a date with an angel, now I'm on my way to heaven.
So yes, a date with an angel at 7 means that Terry Brown will be at Whole Planet Healing at 7 tonight.
Hi.
And you're welcome.
Yeah.
You're welcome to join in. The phone number is 712-770-4340 and the access code 250-513.
No, no, no. Oh, you mean 7. Oh, you're talking about Whole Planet Healing. Yes.
We had two more callers joined in. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Dr. Art, Hampton, Virginia.
Welcome to you, Dr. Art.
Thank you, sir.
Hey, Dr. Art.
Hey, Dr. Art. Hey, guys.
Welcome back, Wynn.
Hi, Wynn.
Hi, Terry.
Hi.
No, am I not loud? Hi.
You're kind of, that's right. You're clear, but not loud.
Is that better?
Yes, way better.
Is that better?
Good still, yes.
All right, I am ready. Leave everybody unmuted, okay?
Leave unmuted? All right, here we go. Yeah.
This conference is being recorded.
This is June 24th, 2019. Wynn and Terry... No, we're not in Sedona. Terry's in Sedona, and I am in Palm Springs. And it is hot here. And, of course, I was just in, it's called Morongo Valley, which is 10 miles north of Palm Springs, over at Abby's house. And... a talk for a small group of people. And you know what? It was really quite amazing. I have been kind of teeter-tottering between how to reach a greater audience and maintaining our founders and the energy that we do on these calls. And for quite some time, it's been like, how would I say it? Someone who just came in here.
I did.
Is that Bonnie?
Bonnie? Yes, it is.
Oh, Bonnie, you always come in late. God.
Okay, well, and a dollar short.
Well, wait a second. It's free will. It's okay to be late. Okay?
That's right.
And if I was coming into the calls and I wasn't the speaker, I'd probably come in late. So,
probably.
You know, I'm not...
Are you still in Morongo Valley?
No.
Oh.
I'm not that far from you, am I?
No, not at all.
We could do a call from the bar.
We could? Yeah, there's nobody in there. There's nobody in there today. We could. It'd be nice and quiet.
And then we could get drunk while everyone's listening.
Oh, well, we could. That wouldn't be. They'd have fun listening to us.
I'm actually in Palm Springs.
Really?
Not that far from you, is it?
Mm-mm.
Palm Springs to Riverside is how far? 35 miles?
You're asking me.
40 miles?
Yeah. Well, maybe 40, maybe 50, maybe a little more.
Well, you know what? I have to figure out every day how to best spend my time. And it's not easy.
I'd want to come see you in Palm Springs.
You would?
Yeah.
Well, come on down.
Right?
If you come down, I'll have dinner with you.
Okay. All right, let me work this out.
As long as Terry doesn't mind. Now, I was going to leave tomorrow, but I might not. You never know. I might have to do a collection for another night at Motel 6. And what are you laughing about?
Pardon me?
Why are you laughing?
I'm just because I'm happy. I'm glad to be on the call. It was a long, hard day today. And so I'm glad to be here.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I'm going to, you know, how can I? You guys, you know, blah, blah, blah. This is me when I have 20 thoughts at the same time, and I can't figure out which one I'm supposed to say. Right? You ever have that experience?
Yeah, but I don't have to be as verbal as you.
You don't?
No, so I can just keep it. I'm all in my head a lot of times, you know, which I need more practice getting it out.
Uh-huh.
It gets kind of stuck.
Let me see if Terry has that. You ever have that experience, Terry, with 20 thoughts in your head? You have to pick one. Terry, are you unmuted?
I feel like it's just me and you on the call.
Everyone's unmuted, though.
Everybody is very quiet.
Hey, guys, are you all there?
I'm here.
No.
Yeah. I'm here.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
So quiet.
Yeah, do I ever have that? when I tell Elohim, I get that. They're saying, but Sophia's, I don't know what to say first.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I had a very good presentation. I'm sorry I didn't record it. I don't like to record my presentation so much. And you know, it's taken a long time to figure out how to present this to new people. And I realize I was telling this to Terry. It's so big that if you start out with how big it is, people will go unconscious. They'll say, oh, sure, or whatever, you know? And so I start out, Terry, you're making all this noise for a change. What's going on? I'll mute you. And then I'll unmute you.
Okay.
I talk to you. Okay. Mm-hmm. There we go. I mean, I'm sure some of you ever tried to talk about this to somebody and gotten an amazing, that's impossible, or incredulous response?
Yeah, story of my life.
The story of your life?
Yeah. No one ever believes me.
Ah.
No, you guys do.
I was going to say, I believe you. I'm not sure what I believe yet because I just came on, but.
Well, you know, walking up to in front of a bunch of strangers and figuring out what you're going to say to them to make them be interested in this.
And even harder, if you're giving a talk somewhere, what do you say, what do I say to make people want to come to the talk? I mean, once I get them in the door, I don't care. It doesn't matter what I said in most cases. You know, they're in the door. But you got to get them in the door. So I have to say something to get them in the door. What would you guys say to get somebody in the door to hear me give a talk? Nobody even has an idea.
Well, I guess it just depends on situation, you know? Like, the situation would dictate, you know, hey, do you want to go through the door with me?
Yeah.
And if they said yes, then we'd have gotten the right path.
Of course, you could go on a date with somebody and just say,
right,
I'm going to go. It's a really interesting talk. That's a good way to get somebody in the door. As long as somebody likes you well enough to go on a date with you. Right?
Right.
Well, it's a very interesting challenge. And, you know, I'll do things. I'll do different things. And usually, no matter what I do, some people will show up. And one of the biggest draws, which I don't want to use, was the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, right? Because Edgar Cayce was so famous, so many people have been influenced by him, that if you really make the case that he's back in the world, and you have a book about it. We did that in Sedona some years ago, and I think we brought 150 people in the room in Sedona. But what's interesting is, for me, at this stage of my life, and having a bigger context as to what we're doing, it's like just getting people in the door is not as important as giving them an opportunity to change their evolutionary track. I hope that does that sound too bold to say something like that?
I think it's intriguing. It'd pull me in.
How about someone else? Anyone else? Does anyone think they've changed their evolutionary track because of our calls?
I think I have.
I think.
Yeah, you know. Totally.
Yeah, but this is where I'm supposed to be. So it's all led up to this.
Yeah,
you know,
I think our evolutionary track was meant to be, man. You know?
How do you know if you've changed your evolutionary track?
Well, I left my life, my old life. I left my job. I left my husband. I moved to a different state. I did all kinds of crazy things. Yeah, crazy. So that I was married for 30 years. You know, I changed my whole trajectory.
Now, who is that talking?
This is Jennifer.
Jennifer, okay.
Yeah. So, that's how I know. I have definitely changed my path.
The idea of changing your evolutionary track. Everyone is so quiet when I ask these questions. I said, Terry, maybe we should go out and have a good time and forget all this. You know? But actually, it's a very good topic, changing your evolutionary track. Because most of the time, most people, or a huge percentage of people, go in circles, and they repeat the same patterns over and over and over again from lifetime to lifetime. And, you know, it's fascinating because I happen to know the past lives of a number of people in my life, past lives where they were famous, and I could read about them, and I could identify the aspects of the person that were similar in the past life and this life, and even myself, and even Terry. Terry?
Yeah. I unmuted myself, so now I can talk. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think you've changed your evolutionary track?
Definitely. Like the first time I changed it was when I married my husband. The second time I changed it is when I put everything in the car and drove away.
Yep, that was the thing.
So in other words, you are not going to make that mistake again, right? That's one of the ways you know you've changed your track.
Right. So
that's right. That's right.
Yeah.
See, in my case, unfortunately, my track changed me.
Well,
I spent so much time changing my track that my track started changing me.
Yeah. Well, I think. Anyone else want to comment on changing their evolutionary track? All right, I'm not going to call on you. I'll let it stand. Terry, I think we should retire.
I felt, before I found this group, I felt connected in some way. But now I have a more... I don't know if I want to call it, it's not necessarily tangible, but it's like I'm more sure about this connection now. And when they describe us as being our, you know, their brothers and sisters, or their lost brothers and sisters down here, and they would love to, you know, send in the St. Bernard with the rescue around his collar, right? I just get this most wonderful surge of energy, and it just, I know that it's true. I know that it's true, and
yes,
I feel
you know it.
That's
deep
just
down
who it is.
Of your phone. Yeah,
it, there's yes. not, you know, there are brothers and sisters. They're not above, you know. They're not to be revered and worshipped and so on and so forth. But that would be easy to fall into. But it's really a neat, warm feeling when they say that, you know, what a rare opportunity it is for them to connect with us. When I'm feeling like, wow, how special is this?
Mm-hmm. You know, when this all started, I kept thinking, what's their angle? When is the booby prize going to come in?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You were
looking at it from your 3D-ness, though. You know, you can't believe for real.
Well, you know what? Listen. And it's so easy to get misled and tricked in this realm. And, I mean, some of you who have been on the calls for a long time have watched where I have brought people onto the call who I thought I loved what they did. And then people loved what they did. And people were getting things out of it. And then they betrayed me, okay? Not everyone, like Terry Friedman and Carla Ruckert, of course, were two two wonderful things. And Terry Friedman never really got into all the Ra Elohim group soul stuff. But we were so responsive to him, and he loved the opportunity to share the Christ energy, that it didn't matter. In other words, I wasn't attached to him getting into that. And when I asked him questions, it always corresponded with the stuff that I already knew about all of this, and he didn't know, you know? Mm-hmm. And it was amazing. It was amazing cross-reference, even though he never got into it. And, of course, Carla never quite got into the Elohim stuff, but she was entrenched with her stuff. But she respected our stuff and never, you know, what happens is at the lower levels, somebody is bringing through, doing amazing stuff. Now, I'm not going to name names. You can figure it out. You know, people, various people that I introduced and that people got benefit from. And I really liked introducing people that other people got benefit from. And then it would go into a lower level where they suddenly were getting attention where they hadn't gotten attention before. And they would say something like, who needs when? And suddenly they're competing for the people on the call.
Suddenly what?
Huh?
Say that last again.
Well, they're doing something valid. They're definitely doing something valid. And I give them a platform where they didn't have one previously, or they didn't have much of one. And then once they get a platform and they give them the opportunity to touch people, and then they compete with me for the people. Like now they're my people. They're not your people.
Right. That happened a couple times.
It's happened a couple of times, and it's very hurtful because I'm not trying to be the big Mahath or the big cheese. I mean, we are doing something that's so big, and it is hard for other people to acknowledge it at the deepest level, many people, who, when they do things, because it can overshadow what other people are doing. And I don't mean it to do that, and that doesn't mean that other people don't have things to offer to help us, okay? We're all on a track, and I mean, even the Elohim, if the Elohim might be the biggest cheeses in the universe, maybe, and they affiliate with the Ra group, right? It would be like the Ra group coming in and saying, well, now that we've got this recognition, let's just diss the Elohim and take the recognition. And that's like one of the things that happens in 3D that is really unfortunate. Then it makes me resistant to introduce people, you know, who may have really good things to offer because of that particular phenomena, because we set our work back because I did that. You hear the kids playing in the background in Palm Springs here, in Motel 6, yeah. So getting back to evolutionary track. Now, you know, when you change your evolutionary track from the way that I'm using those words, it means when you die and you come back, there's a change in your soul that's going to keep you from going through the same patterns that you did over and over again before. Do you follow?
Yeah.
Now, even though some of you aren't realizing it, I may be wrong here, but I think many of you have done that. You've made a change in your track where your discernment would be better. You would recognize things better. I know I have, and I know Terry has. And Terry, all you did when I said, if you change your evolutionary track, you talk with your husband and then leaving your husband. How about the work? The work we're doing, has that changed your track?
Yeah, that's I've been on a constant change of my track, opening it up, expanding, knowing more, able to leave my body and look at stuff exterior. And I mean, it's been a constant growth.
Mm-hmm. You know, something most of you don't know about Terry was there was a period of time where she had a lot of attachments. Now, I'm not sure if they were attachments or if she was picking up beings in the other side that were just riding along with her. And they would get into her space and it was clouding her. She was fuzzy. I look at old pictures of her, and I can see the fuzziness in her space. And right now, she doesn't have that fuzziness, which means she has released those attachments.
Right.
And,
I mean,
there were... There were periods of time, and she was working with groups. Now check this out. She was working with groups that went through disasters and nuclear disasters, some of them.
Yeah.
And I wasn't sure. I'm still not sure if she wasn't still working with some of the Maldekians who were in a nuclear, but there's probably other groups of fragmented souls that went through nuclear incidents.
Yeah,
and that,
it was. It's like, maybe 10,000-13,000 years ago, there was a bunch of, it's like the Bhagavad Gita talks about instruments of war that just burn up the earth.
So I would be with Terry, and she would be fogged out, and I would start talking to some of these fragmented souls. They would come through her, and when I would talk to them, it was like they recognized that they were individuated, and they would leave her.
Right.
And I mean, and they would talk. They'd say, "There I was in this building and this thing, and suddenly, boom, happened, and I was a bookkeeper, or I was a prostitute." I liked the prostitutes. They were fun.
Can I make your life easier?
And I mean, I was trying to figure out, is this real? Is she crazy? You know? I mean, if she went to the wrong psychiatrist, they would have definitely done her in, you know?
Well, I did go to the wrong psychologist. I went to the wrong psychologist, and I hate to tell you what happened. I mean, some good things happened and some really bad things happened.
Did one of those prostitutes come up?
Well, I think that the psychologist was one.
I see.
But in any case, you know, we've had this experience, as we've talked about, where different deceased people have just floated into Terry. We weren't looking for them. We've never looked for them, except occasionally where somebody had somebody close to them and they wanted to check on them on the other side. Otherwise, I don't try to talk to deceased people.
Yeah, but we don't try, but every now and then they come and visit.
We had Morley Safer and Michael Jackson. And every time that happened, I said, "That's the reptilians. They're trying to throw me off center. They're making pretend they're Morley." Mm-hmm. I had to, like, vet each time that happened. So I felt it wasn't anything negative. And, one time they were raving about me. And I said, "Why are they raving about me? Are they trying to get me on an ego trip?" You know? And, you know, I've had to go through this process of testing things. And what I feel is, you know, this has been a work in progress. And when I was at Abby's and talking to that group, it was very interesting because the way I approached it, and I didn't know I was going to approach it this way. I mean, I'm whatever I do, I usually am okay when I'm talking to the public or new people. But I approached it in a really good way. And I started out just making myself very human, talking about my history and my troubadour days and my some of the stories I tell. And some people were wondering, why is he telling these stories? But what happens is I make myself very human, and stories finally go to the way I started writing The Reincarnation of Edgar Casey, the way I met Daphne, the Terry story. And then by the time then, I show the pictures of all the past life pictures, and people's eyes are popping out of their head. And they're very, now I'm pretty sure some of those people are going to end up on our call sooner or later, because I couldn't really say, here's the Elohim and here's what they say. But by the time I'm finished, the Elohim energy was in the room and people could feel it. And I can tell when they're feeling it in a live thing. And I can look at them, and there's an energy between us. And I can feel the energy, and they can feel the energy. I check it out. It's not just me. And I say, that's it. You know, we've created a group energy between me and them, and the Elohim is coming in on the group energy. And, you know, it's kind of like, I don't like to emphasize that, because it just has to kind of sneak in and happen. If somebody was trying to make it happen, it wouldn't happen. Mm-hmm. I remember early on I had a couple of women that wanted to sleep with me, because they said, maybe the Elohim will come through and talk to you. And we didn't do it. I was tempted, but we didn't. And but you know, today I had occasion. I'm in Palm Springs, and one of the stores that we sell pendants to is a really big metaphysical spiritual store. And you know, they hold lectures there. They sponsor talks, and I should go in there and see if I can get them to help me do a talk there. And I sent the woman an email, and I'm going to see her tomorrow. But you know, what I put in the email was very interesting. Like, what do you say to make, where do you put something in words?
Abby was asking me, well, Wynn, tell me what you do in one sentence that'll make people want to come see you. And that is really, really hard. How do you say it in one sentence? Come on, guys, you say it in one sentence. What do I do that would you could say to the public?
Be a long sentence.
Be a long sentence? Well, that's the damn problem with, you know, getting it out there. You can't say, when is a shaman? When is going energy healing? When is this? When is, you know, that's, you know. I mean, you could say Wynn is an astrologer, but who wants to be an astrologer, you know, at this point of the game? So this has been my challenge. And and then if I'm doing an event like a church or something, if I say the wrong thing or too much, the guy who runs the church is going to feel threatened by me. You know, when I was living in Los Angeles, I went and you know who Michael Beckwith is?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know who he is.
He has a religious science church there. It's very big. He had a big audience, 7,000 people. And I went in and I talked to him for an hour in his office. And I was telling him all this stuff, and he believed me. He was going to the church. No! Because it's kind of like, it seemed like it was too big. And, you know, he was in the position, maybe he thought people would lose interest in him. I'm just suggesting this. I don't know. He's a famous guy, so I don't want to put words into his mouth, but maybe he was competitive, and he wasn't thinking like I was thinking. He said, oh my God, here is a real manifestation of God going on right now, and don't you want your parishioners to know about it? And the answer was, no. So, but, you know, I put together, I went through some of the testimonials, because I get all these, and I temporarily lost Jennifer's testimonial. She did a really good one. But I was going through my computer. I said, I'm just going to give her some testimonials and say, let's get together. I want to talk to you. Maybe I can do a presentation at your church. And I said, I wrote the book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. And here's the way people are responding to my work. And you guys probably never heard this, okay? But here we go. Your messages are such a lift of energy. Your work resonates with me on all levels. I am in the process of reading your book, and I'm talking about the Creator God book, and it all makes sense to me. All my life I've been asking, who is God? How did everything begin? What was the creation process? Who are the angels? How does reincarnation work? Everything has been answered, plus more. I always felt alone and misunderstood because I was always searching for truth, where others were content with what they were taught at school or church. Here's another one. This is the first time another individual and his associate's stories, who they are and how they communicate with your own experience, resonated with me. And my experience and observations in my life. Here's another one. let's see, the most useful channelings I have ever read. I heard Wynn on Coast to Coast, read his book, which was the most useful channeling I ever read. Del Wynn, his questions are great. I stayed on the conference line for the whole 2 hours and loved it. It was the first time I have been on a conference call for that long, and the time flew by. There was definitely a time distortion for me, because it didn't seem long at all. I grew up in Norfolk, Virginia, and had my first massage at the Edgar Cayce Institute in Virginia Beach. The work you are doing is so inspiring and appreciated. I could really feel the energy. You address so many issues and concerns that I have been struggling with such clarity and consciousness I have been seeking. Bless you for the work and effort that you are sharing with us at this time. I have no doubt that due to such a great effort, love, and concern for all, that all the money you will need to support it for the benefit of humanity will manifest itself. Okay, we're still waiting, but it's fine with me. I'm waiting for Morgan to go to run the slot machines in Las Vegas. Okay. I could feel the energy surge through me. It was almost like when you look at a flame and the heat distorts the air around it. It feels like that looks. But no heat as it radiated through me. Now, this is a person who is a Mormon, and you know, this is an example of an Elohim soul who has an epiphany reaction connecting to the Elohim energy. I was raised a Mormon, and although I do not practice the religion itself, this has been corrupted. For selfish gain, I have opened up to a much more brighter and uplifting spiritual energetic realm that was just one more thing to assure me I am on the right path. You nailed me. As soon as you mentioned that you sense Elohimic energy, not sure exactly how you said it, I got a chill, which is my truth confirmation sign. During the channeling, when they said they were greeting each one of us individually, I couldn't hold back the tears, just like I couldn't during the Sunday call. I could feel their beautiful presence and their love very strongly. They touched my heart profoundly. I didn't want the workshop to end. I didn't want you to stop sharing information. I remained in an altered state of incredible peace and bliss for quite a while afterwards. I don't recall ever feeling that way during this lifetime. I've often felt like I don't belong here on Earth. I've experienced a sense of alienation my entire life, as well as aloneness and isolation, because I found very few people that I'm able to relate to or resonate with in a truly meaningful way. I have good reason to consider that I've very likely been abducted. I was surprised and happy when you asked another participant about that. I'd love to know more about what you know about that. I am a truth seeker. I always had an open mind. I was live on the Sunday call, and I felt the light energy go through parts of my body. When you're talking about picturing the light coming in from the earth and into the heavens, I am so happy I found you, and thank you for your work. At present, the Elohim presence connectedness is evolving. I don't know how else to describe it. It's other than a prominent feeling in my third eye that kind of detaches my ego when I look at things, and it just feels good.
not always there, but it's coming more so. I go on and on and on and on and on and on. Okay? It's amazing. And I look at these, I say, geez, did we do all that? And the thing about it is, when I ask you guys, you think you advanced your evolutionary track. I only got a few people to say yes. And actually, let me make a thought here. How many of you have experienced time move faster on our calls?
Yes.
Nobody else, right?
Yes.
Just in life in general, too.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, if time is moving faster, you are accessing another dimension, a higher dimension. And if you're accessing and learning, like Don, you just said, in my life as well, if you're accessing a higher dimension, then that's a sign that you're changing your track, okay? You're becoming familiar with a higher dimension and how it feels. And I would speculate that when you die, you might have access to that dimension since you have anchored the energy there while you're in your body. And it's an indication of graduating this realm if you want to. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I think I came from a higher dimension, come down here. So I'm so enlightened down here.
Yeah.
I'm sure you did.
Yeah.
I'm sure many of you did. So when you get the frequencies of the higher dimensions, and you know, I can feel like a background vibration of our sources when, you know, in the course of a day. And, it's, you know, it may not be overwhelming, and sometimes it could be. If it was overwhelming, I couldn't get anything done. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But just the fact that we are communing on this call is creating a reference point for higher interdimensional connection. If you our time is up. See how fast that went? If we go on, listen to that, the channeling from Daphne, where they said at the end of it, you have been initiated. Have you heard? You heard that, right? Remember that?
Yes.
So,
mm-hmm.
What is an initiation? Initiation is where you feel the vibration of a higher dimension for the first time. And nobody usually holds it, but they experienced it. Now they have a new reference point. And some teachers impart that to you. You know, a spiritual master can, it's, you know, it sounds mysterious, but it's really not. If they're holding a higher space, and you choose to work with that teacher, they will share that space with you, and they'll give you a mantra. And when they're sharing it, they'll give you a mantra. Then you can repeat the mantra. But it's not the mantra. It's the fact that they gave you the mantra while they were sharing the space so that you can use the mantra to try to bring in the energy of the initiation. Okay? And so, from that perspective, I would say that people are getting initiated on our calls and on our work. And it's like once you feel that energy,
can change your track. And it gives you a reference point. And, you know, everyone says, am I going to graduate? Am I going to graduate? And these are some of the indications of graduating. How many of you have experienced that you're more loving in your 3D life?
Yes.
I have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
More forgiving.
And more forgiving, more tolerant
mm-hmm.
of people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, you know, these are all aspects of changing your track, you know? And the more you do it, the better it gets. And mm-hmm. on that note, we got to go to Whole Planet Healing. And anyone want to say anything before we go? You guys are very quiet. You know that? All right. Anyone need to need?
That
need
is
to
the
number?
First time anybody's ever accused me of that.
Yeah. Well, that's a miracle in of itself, huh?
All right. Hope to see you all at Whole Planet Healing in just a minute.
Thank you.
All right.
Thanks, Lynn.
Your conference recording has stopped.